God, in prayer tonight as we consider His Word. Father God, we praise You and we thank You that Your Word continues to enrich our lives. Father, we are here because of Your Word. And we thank You, God, that by Your Word You make the heavens and the earth. And we ask, O God, that even tonight, as we look into Your Word, open the eyes of our understanding, that we may know the hope of Your calling, the riches of Your inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of Your power towards us who believe. We thank You for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, that is applied upon our spirits, our souls, and our physical bodies. Thank You, O God, that His life flows through us. And we ask, O God, that because of the blood, let Your Word have free entrance into each one of our hearts and our lives. O God, let Your perfect will be done in each one of our lives. And we promise, O God, that even as You glorify Jesus in our midst, we give You all glory, worship, and honor. Lord, let every need be met here tonight, whether they be needs in the spirit, needs in the soul, our needs in a physical body. We worship You and we thank You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we are on the book of 1 Thessalonians. And if you came with a need, we will minister to your need at the end of the ministry of the word. 1 and 2 Thessalonians are two of Paul's earliest books, and they are written about AD 53, and 2 Thessalonians was written about 6 months or so, between 6 to 9 months or so after the first epistle of Thessalonians. And although they are not arranged, Romans, after Acts is we have Romans, etc., and all the other books, Romans and Corinthians, and followed by all the other epistles after Thessalonians. Although they don't seem to be arranged in a chronological order, they are arranged somehow in a doctrinal order. Having, as we can see here, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, although they are the first books, yet they talk about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the theme in both 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. They speak about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you look at 1 Thessalonians, we notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1, that Paul says here, Paul, Silvanus and Timothy, there are three of them together as Paul wrote this epistle about AD 53, and he wrote it most probably from Acts 18 verse 5 when he was in Corinth, the city of Corinth, in his missionary journey. And the occasion in which he wrote it, we can find it in the book of Acts 2. And so for some background, historical background on this book, let's consider the book of Acts and see the founding of the church in chapter 17. The book of Acts, chapter 17. Paul is in his second missionary journey. And here we see here, it says in verse 1, Acts 17 verse 1, and when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and it says here in verse 4, a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So within 3 Sabbaths, a church was founded. However, there was opposition, and we have during the uprising caused by the Jews, in verse 10, The brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. So Paul was sent to Berea, and while he was there, he again preached the gospel. But while he was in Berea, in verse 13, when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowd. So there they have more opposition, the same group of the Thessalonican Jews. Verse 14, then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. That's the one that we want to take note in verse 14. Both Silas and Paul remained behind at Berea, and apparently while Silas was there in Berea, Timothy, during that period that he was to remain behind, had also gone back and visited Thessalonica. They were after Paul, they were not after Silas and Timothy. So Paul had to leave. Paul went off, and the Bible story goes on in Acts 17. He went to another place called Athens. And at Athens, we read about what he did there. He preached the gospel. And then while waiting in chapter 17, verse 33, so Paul departed from among them. Then his next stop, he went over to a new place, Corinth. That's in Acts chapter 18. And while he was in Acts 18 in Corinth, he met these Christians there, whom we hear much about, a certain Jew named Aquila and his wife Priscilla. Paul was acquainted with them, made friends with them, and while he was there, he planted a church in Corinth. And as he was there busy preaching the gospel in Corinth, in Acts chapter 18, we are told here in verse 5, Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia. And that was a general area where Philippi and Thessalonica and Berea, all those regions. So Silas and Timothy finally arrive. When they arrive, they told Paul all the good news of the Thessalonican church and all those happenings. And when Paul heard it, he was much encouraged, and the Bible tells us he preached the gospel even stronger in Corinth. And when Paul heard about all this good news in Acts 18 verse 5, that was happening among the Thessalonians, and they were a very, very young church, Paul immediately wrote 1 Thessalonians. And he wrote back and encouraged them, and thank God for them for all those things that had happened. So let's see some of the clues now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. He says here in verse 1 and 2, therefore when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. So Timothy was sent unto them, and then Timothy came back in verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you. So that's the background of the story. Timothy has just arrived together with Silas. Possibly Silas had concentrated different areas from Timothy. Timothy concentrated possibly more on the Thessalonian church. But they both arrived together in Acts 18 verse 5. And Paul was delighted, and he quickly wrote this epistle that we know of, 1 Thessalonians. You can see that a lot of Paul's epistles are written offhand from his life. Now he may have premeditated in God and prayed through, spent much time with God, but whatever Paul wrote flowed from his life. And that's the background, the historical background of 1 Thessalonians. As we read 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 right on to chapter 5, we're wondering how to find the theme. And in a book-by-book teaching, what we are trying to establish is the theme for each book. Like last week, we looked at Colossians and we saw the theme of the omnis of God. And so that gives us a clue to research the book further. We are only giving a general outline in which you could go on and go into detail study by yourself. So in 1 Thessalonians, if you read carefully through, you notice that in chapter 1, 2 and 3, it looks more like testimony and sharing about, reminiscing about the past, the things that they have experienced within Paul and the Thessalonians, etc. And it looks as if it was only in chapter 4 and chapter 5 that Paul began to speak about the second coming. And whereas in 2 Thessalonians, straight away in chapter 1, the second coming is mentioned. It looks as if the second coming description was only begins in chapter 4 and chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. And apparently, there is a possible division. There is a sort of different flow in chapter 4 and 5 and chapter 1, 2 and 3. However, all five chapters give us an emphasis of some aspect of the second coming that we want to consider. The first three chapters speak more of all those preparatory areas to do for the second coming. And then chapter 4 and 5 speak about more specific areas of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our clue comes from the last few verses of each chapter. If you notice, reading through this epistle, and I hope you have read this epistle, next week only three chapters, right? So, make sure you read it. And should be glad that we were not in Psalms. You have to read 150 chapters before coming. So here is 1 Thessalonians. The clue for the outline and the theme comes from the last verse, the last few verses. Take a careful look at the last few verses of each chapter, and you would notice that it says something directly or indirectly about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we pick up that the entire book speaks about the second coming of Jesus. Let's look at that. And we're just showing you how an outline comes from the book. We're not trying to put something into the book. We are just looking at the book with an open mind, praying on our knees before the Holy Ghost and before God the Father in the name of Jesus, and letting that book shine out to us, and let the Holy Ghost tell us the themes that He has hidden in each book. So in chapter 1, the last few verses, if you observe carefully, it says here in verse 9 and 10, "For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." Notice that the last two verses speak about the second coming of Jesus. Speaks about waiting for the coming of the Son of God. In chapter 2, again the last few verses are our clue. In fact, the last two. "For what is," in verse 19, "for what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in His coming? For you are our glory and joy." Again, the second coming is mentioned at the end of the second chapter. But a different aspect is emphasized in chapter 3. Looking this time at verse 12 and 13. "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you,
so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints.